It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Oh, it's good to be house of God. There's a, like I said, up in New York, it's crazy. Now, where we are at, we don't have a lot of coronavirus there, but it's because of our governor and the down there in New York City where they're packed and on top of each other and all that kind of stuff. But it's good to be in church. We didn't get to come down to youth rally, and that broke the kids' hearts. And so being in church is good. Don't ever take it for granted. Amen. Don't ever take it for granted to be in church, and especially on a Wednesday night. I do want to say a couple things here. Number one, I want to say for all the widows and widowers that I've tried my hardest to pray for you daily. And when I think about Faith Baptist and think about you and your husbands or your wives that have passed away, and now recently Miss Carla, every time I'd come, Miss Carla would always kiss me on my neck and say, "It's so good to hear you shout, Brother Sampson." And song service, and she'd always encourage me, and praying for Brother Ron and the ones that have lost a loved one or a child. I think about it often. I do. I really do. And I love y'all, and I'm praying for you. I want you to know that, first of all. And I, like I said earlier, thank Faith Baptist Church for praying for our church. Right now, we're recording. The way I do my services, I do them on Marco, and then I got all my people to get on Marco, and I send it out to them. So usually at 6 o'clock, I'll do a Wednesday night service, and I send it out, or Sunday, or whatever the case may be when we do our services. But now we do a 1 o'clock service on Sundays, and Lord willing, we'll be back in our church in a couple weeks and everything. So we're recording right now, so some folks that don't get this, we sent them a link, so hopefully Central's watching live, and so some of our folks are sitting home watching this service live. So it's a blessing. And a lot of them said, "Hey, we want to go down to your dad's church. We want to come down to Faith Baptist." And so some of them got to, and that's a blessing. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you tonight. I started a series in my church out of this chapter. This chapter, if you're a preacher, it's a great chapter. But I'm preaching a series on who are you in the Lord. Paul wanted to show young Timothy there's some characteristics in here for young Timothy to remind him who he is in the Lord. What is your identity? And what happens is you get wrapped up in this world and you forget who you really are, or you're connected to a title or connected to some clothing or a vehicle to describe who you are, and that's not the way God set it up for us. And he wanted young Timothy never to have a identity problem. Amen. And so there's seven characters in here that he talks about: a son, a soldier, a athlete, a farmer, a worker, a vessel, and a servant. And it's good for you to study out. These are what God would want a preacher and his people to be. These characteristics in here, but what I'm going to focus on is something here. Look at verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Father, I ask you to help us. Put your hand upon us. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my dad's birthday. God, that he's still serving you. He's still alive and he's well. Just today telling him I can carry two bundles of shingles up the roof. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, just keep his health and protect him and protect this church. And God, bless these people for supporting this work and being involved in the work of God and my family, Father. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, what I want you to see here is that this son, aren't you glad that you're a son of God? And listen, ladies, this is you too, because the Bible talks about being sons and daughters of the Lord. And boy, when you see sons of God, and he says, my son, and you can take this, this is Paul talking to Timothy, but take it as the Lord talking to you. He said, my son, be strong. And listen, we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I told our church Sunday that we're so far away from the grace of God. Listen, that grace is that God gives. What did he tell Timothy? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? Because he was going to go through trials where Paul told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. So when Paul went through troubles and trials, he praised the Lord for them. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've been thanking God for the pandemic. It's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to my family. Hey, listen, I got debt free. Hallelujah. Thank you, President Trump. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm telling you, God did some amazing things. We've been praying 6.5 years for Israel's coach, his first coach, got him on the travel team, and he got saved. He called me one night, and I got witnessing to him, led him to the Lord. He wants to get his family in church, and he wants to see his family saved. I mean, it's been the best thing. My kids and us gotten closer to the Lord. I tell you what, it's been so good for the church. Many of us have been praying for Christ to come back. Man, I remember back in the day when I was a little boy, people were praying, God, come back. We've gotten so spoiled and so laid back. And listen, thank God we're sons and daughters of God that we can go through the grace of God. Can you imagine there's people out there that are freaking out and won't go out of their house. They have people delivering them groceries and bringing them stuff because they're scared. They're wearing 2 gloves and 2 masks and all these things. And they're worried about this coronavirus that it killed them. But listen, if I got it and it killed me, if you got it, if you're saved here and it killed you, you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. You're going to heaven. And boy, we can have that grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, he says, we need to have that strength in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says these things, we need to be committed. Committed. Committed to do what? Pass it on. Hey, all those little kids in that gym, you know, they need to know that there's a God bigger than the coronavirus. There's a God bigger than the riots that are in downtown. There's a God bigger than our president. There's a God bigger than our government. He is so big. Yeah. He take care of things. Yeah. Hey, we got to pass it on. Hallelujah. Yeah. And be committed. Amen. Most people here tonight, you're here because you're committed. You're committed. And he tells young Timothy, he said, my son, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and be committed to pass this on to faithful men. Verse 2, the first to verse 4 are my life verse the Lord has given me. My verse that I claim and I write when I write in my Bible, people's Bibles, they're the verses God has given me. And I didn't quite understand them all. And now I'm starting to see some things that the Lord gave me these verses. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. He says this. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In this life, if you're ever going to make it, you're going to have to endure some hardness. We got some military in here. And enduring hardness is a good soldier. The Navy SEALs, you know what they teach their guys? They got to do hard things. They got to do hard things. They do all kinds of hard things to them. They even teach them after they get out. They teach them after they get out, do some things you don't like. Like put yourself in some cold water. Just take a cold shower and endure it. They teach that after they get out. Now listen, some of y'all's faces right now, you said, Lord, I don't want to do that. Listen, when I go on vacation, I find a pool that's warm. Not because somebody peed in it, amen, but because they have a heater, hallelujah. I don't like cold water. But they teach those Navy SEALs that. Why? Because they can keep their mindset during the hard times. When you go through hard times and you be able to keep your mindset together to be able to make that discerning, making decisions that's right before the Lord. And you know what's going on? People are going crazy. They're all cooped up, and now this happened in Memphis, and they're going out, and then riots and all this kind of stuff. They're going crazy. They don't have a sound mind. People are fighting over Facebook and this and that. Listen, can I say this? If you're a Christian, you have no business getting involved in those things. Hey, listen, I know Christians that get on Facebook and we're going to run for this and we're going to do this. But listen, let me tell you something. If you're that upset about it, go witness to somebody and tell them about the hope of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Black lives matter. No, every life matters. And listen, I don't want to see anybody die. And listen, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. What I'm trying to tell you is don't get sidetracked with the things of this world when God has a plan for you and what he wants you to do. Amen. Racism is a real thing. Yep. And it's in our country, and it does happen. But the only thing that's going to change it is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Yep. Hey, not parading down a road. Now listen, we live in a free country. You can do that all you want. I don't care. But us Christians, we should be giving out the gospel and changing the hearts of men through the word of God. Amen. Amen. I hate racism. I hate all that stuff. You say, why do I hate it? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he's done? He come to save that which is lost, and he'll change the heart of man, and he teaches you to do what? Love your enemies. The love of Christ. The love of Christ. Be careful. I got a little ahead of myself, but listen, we don't need to be, we need to have some hardness in our life. Some hard things come through our life to help us to make these decisions. But what I want to preach on tonight is entangle. It says there this, look at this. It says, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Hold your place here. Go to Matthew chapter 13. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. With the affairs of this life. Matthew chapter 13. You better be careful getting entangled with the things of this life. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of what? Riches. Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Go to Luke chapter 8. Go to Luke chapter 8. Chokes the word, and you become unfruitful. Luke chapter 8. Look at Luke chapter 8, look at verse 14. Luke chapter 8, look at verse 14. And that which should fall among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this what? Life. And bringeth no fruit to what? Perfection. You know what that verse tells me? That tells me that there was fruit that was growing, but it never got to his potential. It shows me that there was fruit that was growing, but never got to his potential. Why? Because of the cares of this life, the riches of this life, and the pleasures of this life. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with riches. There's nothing wrong with cares. We all care. We got kids that are sick. We care for this. We care for that. The cares of this life, you got to have a job. You got to do this. The cares of this life, there's pleasures. Listen, we went out to a Mexican restaurant, hallelujah, and sat down and ate. There's some pleasures in this life. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when those things become the main point of your life and begin to choke out the word of God, what do you have when you get choked? No spirit, no air. And you know what happens? You lose your air. You lose spiritually the spirit of God. You know what I've learned? I've learned this is that if I allow the news to control me, I've had to cut it off, Brother Mike. It'll make me mad, boy. You got left wing, right wing. If I watch that all day long, it's going to choke the spirit of God out of me. And then the spirit of man's going to rise up. And some people's spirit of man will rise up, or spirit of ladies, God help us, rise up, and they get on there and they blah, 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 on Facebook and they blow everything up, and then you can't take that stuff back. and you get watching. So I'm not saying that we put our head in the sand. Listen, I had to pay attention to the news. I came down Sunday after our service. I had to go around Philadelphia. I'm not taking my kids through some riot. I'm not saying to put our head in the sand. What I'm saying is you better be careful with the pleasures, the riches, and the cares of this life, because right now, every day we want to see what's going on. How many people had died from the coronavirus? Who has it? Who's opening up what? Every day a mayor gets up and he speaks for an hour and something, and people watch it hour after hour. The president gets on. People are stopping everything to watch the president. It is what's going on right now. But if we're not careful, it'll take us away from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And we got to make sure that we balance that thing and say, you know what? I don't want to be choked out. I don't want to be tied up. And the title of this message tonight is called All Tied Up. You know where we are? We're all tied up with all the events that are going on. And I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're all tied up in these events that's gotten us. Listen, I've been caught up in it. I've had to cut it off. Listen, when all this stuff came and the news media, Channel 7 came, and then Fox News got a hold of me and they wanted to talk to me. Man, you're looking at everything, what people saying, all the comments. It'll consume you. Man, we had people saying negative stuff. We had people saying, a bunch of people saying positive stuff. We're getting emails. I'm trying to work. I got all this bombarded. Another paper came out with our situation. And then there's another, a lady got on there and did a video of us, didn't even know us, and had people, I mean, crazy stuff was going on. And it'll consume you. And I had to tell my wife, we're going to cut it off. We're not going to keep on looking at it because I want to be led by the Spirit. If you're not careful in whatever drama you got going on in your life, whatever pleasures, whatever cares, whatever it is, if you don't balance that thing out, it'll overtake you and you'll make the wrong decision and you won't hear the Spirit of God.
Yep.
And it chokes us out.
Amen.
Many of us have been there. It'll happen in a church. Have you noticed? We didn't have revival. We didn't have our ladies counseling thing. We didn't have this other meeting we were going to have. Things kind of slowed down. It's almost like the Lord said, I want you to slow down because I need you to take some time with me. I'm going to take church away from you because you really didn't care much about it. It just becomes something that you've done over and over and over. And it's become religious. And now it's got taken away from you, and you have to make a decision. Am I going to fight for my rights? Well, that's Laodicea, the rights of the people. Or am I just going to stand up and do the right thing, whatever God wants me to do for my family, for my home? And you got to pay attention to this. Look at this, 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says, Thou therefore put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. My job as a pastor, my dad's job, my brother-in-law's job as the pastor and associate pastor is to remind you. Remind you, you better be careful. Getting all tied up. You ever heard somebody, oh, I can't come to church, I'm all tied up. Well, I can't come over because I'm all tied up. You know what we've done in the last couple months? We've been so busy that we said, you know, Lord, you said, well, we've been quarantined. Yeah, a lot of people say been quarantined, but you've been fixing your house. You've been doing all this kind of stuff. I've been running like crazy, I'm telling you. I've been more busy in this pandemic than ever before. I'm telling you. Remodeling a room, doing this, and picking up this job and doing this. You know what God wants? God wants us to take some time out and say, okay, I want you to hear my Spirit. Look what it says in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh what? Expressly. The Spirit speaks, that's plainly. You know what the Spirit does? You know, it's not this mystical thing, but the Spirit of God speaks to us plainly.
Yep.
If you're saved.
Yep.
I had people come to my church and they were in another church and they came and they said, we hear you talk about God speaking to you. We haven't had that happen. I said, well, are you saved? They said, yes. And they told me, yeah. God said, I said, okay. I said, you start reading your Bible. You read your Bible? They said, no. They start reading their Bible. And a few weeks into the Bible, they came to church. They said, he spoke to me. It's that simple. You say, why? Because he speaks plainly. He spoke through your preaching. Yes, because he uses preaching. He spoke through the singing because he uses singing. He speaks through testimonies about glorifying him because that's what he uses. You say, why? Because the Spirit speaks expressively. It is plainly. It's not that hard. My children get it. My little ones that are sitting in here, they'll be reading the Bible, and they have their own time to read the Bible. Little Gracie, and she reads the Bible. She said, Daddy, the Lord showed me something today. Because it's not that hard. But look what the verse says. He said, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, here we are, the latter times, I believe the Lord's coming back. Some shall depart from the faith, heeding to what? Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what happened to us? This is talking to Christians. It ain't talking about lost people. We can be seduced by another spirit. We can be controlled by another spirit if we allow it and not listen to the Spirit of God. I'm all tied up. If you're all tied up, you need to get untied. Because when you're all tied up with something, you know what my kids do? Daddy, daddy, daddy. And Gracie, I know it was Juliet one time, said, Daddy, Daddy. And I wasn't listening. I'm on the phone. Da, da, da. She said, Pastor Ryman. I said, yes. They've learned. And I've gotten all tied up. Yeah. What happens is we get so tied up that we don't hear God calling his own child. And we'll have some other seducing spirit take us off track. Listen. Don't be so tied up that you can't hear the Spirit of God. Don't be so tied up that you can't hear what the Spirit is saying to you plainly. Well, I don't know if that preacher's right. Yeah, you don't know if he's right because you haven't been reading your Bible and you haven't been connected with the Spirit because you've been so tied up.
Yeah.
Everybody get mad. I don't like what Brother Mike said. Well, you don't like what he said because he hit what you like, your idol. And you're so tied up and God's been trying to hit it. And then you blame the preacher.
Yeah.
Hey guys, what I'm trying to say is we make our decisions, we should make our decisions on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we don't listen to him, if we don't get ourselves untied and listen to him, we'll never be able to hear him speak to us plainly. Look at this. Look at verse 7. But refuse profane and old wise fables. And exercise thyself rather unto what?
Godliness.
For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things. The Bible says about being godly and content is great gain. Having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So listen, I want to hear the Spirit speak to me plainly, right? I got to get untied from it. But if I'm not untied, I can never hear what God wants me to do in my Christian walk. I'm not talking about what the preacher, God uses the preaching of God's word. Right now, my voice is going out, but the Spirit of God is coming through here, and he's speaking to you. I don't know about what. Maybe it's something I am saying or something else, but the Spirit of God is so powerful. It is speaking to you, and if you're all tied up, you're not going to listen to it. And if you're all tied up, you'll never exercise godliness. You'll never exercise godliness. Listen, a lot of people don't want to be godly anymore. Godliness is a doctrine. Living right, talking right, watching the right thing, doing what God would have you do. Listen, it's being God-like.
Amen.
And the Spirit needs to speak to me and say, God, how should I be? Lord, what should I do? It was amazing. The other day, I was told my dad, I said, right down the road, I said, God, I need you to talk to me. Lord, I got this in my heart. I got this going on. I need something. And 2 days later, I'm reading my Bible. God takes a verse and he speaks right to me. And I'm sitting there reading. I'm going, whoa. I said, okay, I need to exercise that. The problem is some of us will hear it, but then we get so tied up we won't exercise it. Expressly, he's given it to us, and then we need to exercise it. It's not that hard. This Christian life is not that hard. Hey, little ones, let me get a teenager. It's not that hard. All you got to do is get plugged in, untied, and let him speak to you. I mean, really speak to you. And say, God, I want to know what you want for my life. Okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to submit myself on the authority of my parents. Then I'm going to do that, and I'm going to exercise it. Amen. And when you exercise it, it brings its profit in what? All things. To the life now and the life after. Wait a minute, the life after? I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about in the millennial reign, the life now. I can have blessings. It's a promise, Brother Rick. It's a promise of God that if I exercise what that Spirit is saying to me plainly, and it's pretty plain because the Word of God, I heard, listen, we've been watching live because we have our services at 1. So I've been hearing Brother Mike teach. We've been hearing Pop-Up preach. We've been hearing y'all sing. We've been watching it live. And listen, I hear Brother Mike, he says it. It's not that hard, is it, Brother Mike? Just read your Bible if it says it. It's plainly. It's plain as day. And you exercise it. Listen, husbands and wives, I try to show them, listen, all you got to do is exercise it. Amen. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. But we don't want to exercise it. We don't want to exercise it. Look at this. He said that there's a promise, the life that now is, and the life that which is to come. And then there's a third E. Look at verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. He's talking to a young man. But be thou the what? Example. Expressively, the Spirit speaks. We're supposed to exercise unto godliness to be what? The example. You know what I'm finding? We got a lot of sorry examples. I'm seeing more. My heart breaks more and more. So where, my wife and me are talking. Said, where are those couples our age? There's only a few of us that are always sold out. They're not turning their kids over to some stinking filth or junk. Where are they? Where are they? The older people are dying off. The ones that were sold out at our age, where are they? They stopped exercising.
Still here.
I know you're still here. But they're dying off. Preachers are retiring because they're getting older in age. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, where's the ones exercising godliness? Where's the ones listening to the Spirit of God? They're making these choices. Do you know? Listen, young lady, let me tell you this. If you get into the wrong, I've been wanting to use this so bad. And so you get into the wrong marriage, it's like going to hell. Amen. Heard a preacher say it this week. I said, man, that's good. I'm going to use that. Listen, young man, you get the wrong woman, it's like going to hell. But you get the right one, it's like going to heaven. We hear that stuff, but we don't listen to the Spirit of God as he talks to us, and we exercise what we're supposed to do to be able to be that example to the believers. I tell my kids, there's certain friends of certain kids we don't let you hang around. Why? Why? I don't want you to be influenced. I don't care if you're mad about it. They're my children. And if you didn't want your kids to hang out with mine, I'm not offended. We're up there. You know my church, there's not hardly any teens. I got like maybe 3 teens in my church. My little girls, they don't have no little friends. We left all this. And me and my wife worry about their hearts. When we had a small church split, all their little friends have left. Do you realize how big that is for them? And how those spirits can change their path in their life if I don't listen to the Spirit of God and tell them to listen to the Spirit of God? And how dangerous it is as a parent, I could put hatred in the heart towards God's people. You better be careful. Because we're supposed to, as Timothy, he told Timothy, to pass it to the next generation. You don't need I realize this. I used to think, man, look, our church is thriving. And when I was here at Faith Baptist and we got all this youth, I realized I don't need a big church to thrive. Amen. Brother Mike knows he had a small church. I got a small church. This church, I remember when it was small. We didn't need a big church to thrive. We worked and served God, and God, my dad made God bigger than anything in our life. And we listened to the Spirit of God, and we learned, yes, we made mistakes and we had problems. We had, that's the cares of this life, the riches of this life, and all the things that attack us and the spirits that attack preachers' kids and all that kind of stuff. But what you need is God, not just a big youth group, not just a big congregation. What you need is the Spirit of God and the Word of God and to exercise it. And why? Watch God do the great things in your life. Amen. When we think we have to have a meeting, youth rally didn't come around, and how are we going to do this? No, they need God. They don't need youth rally. And you get that in their head, said, hey, we need God. Can you imagine us going underground? I mean, it made me think how spoiled, Brother Mike, that I am. How spoiled I am. That we could come to church and I could preach the gospel, and I'm out on the back porch preaching the gospel, but there's other men and kids in the countries can't wait to go to an underground service to see their friends and their lives on the line. It's happening right now. Their preachers' heads have been cut off, and they still go to an underground service to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so spoiled. And we're so tied up that the Spirit doesn't even speak to us anymore. And we don't even exercise it. And so we don't exercise it. The next generation doesn't see the example. They don't see the example. Brother Jason and I are trying to push camp. Say, why? We know that next generation, they don't need camp. But if God allows us to, if God shuts it down, that's his business. But if God allows us to, we're going to open up and we're going to preach to them and teach them and show them the love of God and show them what God can do. We've gotten so much. I've said this before. The Bible-believing movements have been, I've got to get something from the next meeting, from the next meeting, from the next meeting. And then we got Sunday morning crowd from the next Sunday morning service to the next. No, I can get it in the middle of the week, in the middle of the night. You say, why? Greater is he that's in me that is in the world. And I got a book, and I can get in there with a flashlight at night and read this Bible and let that Spirit begin to speak to me and push off those evil spirits that are trying to tie me up and get me to go another way and begin to exercise it for the Lord and be that example. Be that example. So I'm all tied up. How am I supposed to get out of it? Look at verse 12. Paul's talking to Timothy, but just imagine the Lord's talking to you. Until I come, give attendance to. The attendance means to lean in, to gravitate to. Give attendance to what? Reading. Exhortation, that's preaching. Doctrine. Exhortation and preaching and teaching and doctrine and all those things that come in with that in the reading of God's Word. I know this is a church that reads their Bible, but can I tell you, since this pandemic happened, it's had me leaning more towards preaching. Since our services got taken away and that the riots have been going on and all this stuff that's been going on in our country, and I'm thinking, God, please come quickly. I've prayed that more in the last couple months than I've prayed in my whole life. You say, why? We've been so spoiled. And now somebody wants to take the church away in some states. People don't want you to go to church because they're saying you're going to kill somebody. Brother Charlie Clark and all them are dealing with all that with their state and all that stuff that's going on. And it might come a time where they do, but do you realize how far away we've gotten from loving the Spirit of God and loving His Word? And listen, we say, oh, we're Bible believers. Yeah, we got our doctrine down. But we have gotten so far away from listening to God's Word. This is young Timothy. This is before he dies. Paul dies, our apostle, and he's encouraging the pastor to tell the churches these things. And he says, until I come, give attendance to. Give attendance to. Are you giving attendance to these things? These things are the things that will help you get untangled. These are the things that will help you get all untangled. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're getting done here. Check 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1. This now also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Here they are. Men shall be what? Say it again, church. Lovers of their own selves. That's where we're at.
Yep.
And then it goes down through here and explains covetousness, proud, boasters, all that. But then he ends it. Look what he ends it. Verse 4. Traitors, high-minded, lovers of what? More than lovers of God. Having the form of godliness and denying the power. What's the power? The Spirit. You say, why? It's been choked out. That Spirit's been so choked out by people's anger. Hey, listen, I've seen Bible believers get angry at stuff in their own local church, and it's choked their own spirit out of God to be able to handle a matter right. I'm going to say this again. You better be careful of holding people to your stinking standards. Because if you hold them to your standards, the wrath of man brings not the righteousness of God. And you want the righteousness of God, then the Spirit of God should be on you and you should exercise it, and they'll see the example. They will see the example in your life and look at it and say, hey, how did you do that? How did you raise your kids like that? How did you handle that problem like that? And you can say, well, God, in His mercy and His grace, reached down and spoke to me through some preaching, spoke to me through some Bible reading, spoke to me through some singing, and He encouraged me and helped me. And when I heard Him clearly, you know what I did? I exercised it. We're so far away from it, folks. Look at verse 7. Ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, I've seen that in my own life. Always learning, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. Hey, knucklehead, change that. Hey, knucklehead, rejoice. And we're always learning these new things, but never changing anything. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is where we're going to end. I charge thee, therefore, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, to His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know what we need more of? Preaching. Preaching. Look what he says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what Jesus would always say when he would say a parable or he'd say something? The Bible says Jesus turned and he would say, if a man has an ear, let him hear. Why would he say that? The disciples are standing right there. Everybody's around them standing right here. Maybe I'm the only one to notice that, but I mean, he always says it. Then you get into Revelation. Let the ears of the churches hear what the... You say, why? Because we're all tied up and we're hearing it, but we're not receiving it. And he says, hey, they're going to turn their ears from it. I don't want that to be me. I don't want my ears to be turned from the truth. Amen. Unto fables. Look at verse 5. And watch therefore in all things. Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. Paul talking, in the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know what Paul's telling him? Paul's telling him, hey, Timothy, he said, you get these things knocked down in your life that you're going to listen plainly to the Spirit of God as it speaks to you and you exercise it. You be that example. And until I come, these are the ways to keep yourself from being all tied up by reading. You can listen to exhortation, doctrine, getting that stuff down. And he says, and I didn't even show you this, but he says at the end of that chapter, he says, check yourself first before you tell anybody else. Check yourself first. And he says, hey, perilous times are going to come. Listen, folks, if we're not in perilous times, I don't know what it is. We're seeing things rapidly change. You know what you're seeing? You're seeing these looters. I'm blown away. Why would you go to your own area and steal and rip things apart and all that? They're lost, though. Because the Bible says Satan came to steal and to kill. And they're doing all this stuff. Even the officer that killed George Floyd, is that right? I say the name right? I'm thinking, the man's heart's wicked. All that stuff is just the world and they're lost. And you know what they need? They need Christians to be the example of showing them the love of Christ and telling them, but we've dropped the ball. We've dropped the ball. And he tells Timothy, you know what you need to do? Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't get on there and do protest. Preach the word. Don't get out there and be the example. Tell your neighbors. You know, it's the greatest opportunity to talk to people about where they're going to go when they die. Really is. They're thinking about if they got the coronavirus, they'd die. They're scared half to death. Give them some hope. Give them the gospel. My son's coach called me because he knew that I would always tell him about the Lord and getting in church. And he got in an accident at work. And all this stuff was going on. He wanted to talk to me. And you know what the Lord did? He had his friend out west witness to him. And I didn't know. And I started witness to him. He said, my best friend just told me the same thing. Yeah. And he bowed his head over the phone and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. Listen, we be the example. God will bring them to you. God will bring them to us. Amen. Church, let me tell you this. We're in the greatest time. I'm so excited. I told my kids, we might even be here to see the rapture happen. I don't know if it's setting up for the Antichrist. I don't know all these things. I don't know if is it true about the coronavirus or they make it up. I'm not a doctor. I don't know all those answers, but I know one thing. When the Spirit speaks, I need to exercise. When the Spirit speaks, I need not to get tied up with all these other things and let the Lord do the work inside of me that I could be the Christian. So when I stand before him, he'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Michael Durant. Many of y'all might know him. Some of you military guys would know him. Michael Durant was a pilot of a Black Hawk helicopter. They made the movie Black Hawk Down. And Michael Durant was that helicopter. He ran that helicopter in Somalia there, and they had that missile launcher or whatever it was that hit them and knocked them down. All his buddies had gotten killed, and he's there. His legs broke. His jaws broke. His collarbones broke. I mean, he had all kinds of injuries. He's beat up. He said in an interview that it's a really weird thing when your mind gets into a place when you're in battle like that. And he said, I started hearing the bullets ricochet off the helicopter. Bing, bing. He said, my mind went to like, what kind of song is that? He was in his mind thinking of a song of those bullets. Bing, 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 bing. He said, there was another helicopter with two other soldiers in there, and they kept on asking, can we go down? I don't know all the military terms and all that, but they were asking if they can come down there to help him. And they said, no, it's a suicide mission. And about the third time, they told him, he said, go on down. Both of those men got down there to save him. They killed those men, cut their members off, and ran them through the village. They captured Michael Durant, took a dog chain and chained him up, Michael, and put him in this room. He was there for 11 days, dehydrated. He said, in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, I'm in so much pain. He said, I knew my jaw was broke. He said, my leg was broke. And he said, I was bleeding. I was dehydrated. He said, and days went by, and he could hear kids through the cracks of the walls in this room that he was in. He could hear the kids outside playing. And he thought, man, they're never going to find me. They're going to torture me. I'm already in pain. They're going to kill me. A soldier would come by in that room, and he'd take that gun and he would just shoot it in that room, and it would ricochet off that room. And he said one time a bullet came so close to him after it ricocheted, he said, I don't even know what I was thinking, but I grabbed it and it singed my fingers, and now I got pain on the end of my fingers. He said days started to pass. He was there 11 days. He said, I started losing hope, Brother Joe, losing hope. My mind started going back to when I was a kid. I started thinking of my mama, my daddy. I started thinking of my wife and my children back home. He said, I started thinking of all these things. He said, I'm laying there. And he said, all of a sudden, I hear American helicopter. He said, I knew what it was. He said, then I heard this. Michael Durant, we will find you. Michael Durant, we will not leave you. Michael Durant, we will find you, Michael Durant. Do you hear us, Michael Durant? We will find you. He said, when he heard his name and they said they were going to find him, he said something inside of him stirred up so much inside of him and gave him another boost of energy, of life. Church, do you realize that our Father, which is up in heaven, we got all this mess going around. People are dying. People are rioting. We listen, this is not our home. Amen. And God has left us a book. And how dare us get so tied up that we don't hear him say, child, I'm coming back for you. Child, hey, I didn't leave you alone. Child, I put my spirit inside of you. Child, I know you're going through things, but I'm coming back for you. Hey, I didn't leave you, children. I'm coming for you. Hey, the time is near. Children, I'm coming. Hey, listen, if we get to the place where we just turn everything off and we're just spend some time with God and let him comfort your heart and lift you up, you'll hear him say those words. You'll hear him encourage you. You'll hear him encourage you. In the time of your troubles, in this crazy time, there's so many opinions, and I really could care less about those opinions. But the opinion I want is right here. Because you know what's helped me through my times? This right here. Why don't you stand, heads bowed. I'm going to turn it over to preacher here. You want to pray at your seat? Pray here at the altar. Maybe you need to come and just say, Lord, I'm all tied up. And I need to discipline myself to get untied. And listen to your spirit. Exercise some things in my life. Maybe there's something God wants you to do and you haven't exercised it. Why don't you come? Go ahead and place this. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If I'm ever going to be a good soldier, I got to listen to the Spirit. Speaketh plainly, expressly. Exercise it and be the example. Don't let things tie you up. Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for these folks. God, it's good to be back at Faith Baptist Church, Father. And God, bless my dad on his birthday. God, we're so thankful he's here and what you did in using him and all of our lives, Lord. But God, help us, Lord, to listen to the Spirit of God and not let things choke us out through this crazy time. And God, we know that you got it under control. We know you have it under control. And Father, you're coming back soon. And we know the end of the story. Protect our children. Help us to pass it on. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.